Live and direct from my phone to your ears. Welcome to my voice notes. Hello and welcome to my voice notes. And yes, it's been a minute, but here we are. Well, what did we miss? Well, let's start. Why don't we start with the past 2-3 weeks of little things that I discovered, experienced, and heard. So, a couple of weeks ago, it was Nowruz, which is the Persian New Year, celebrating with the first day of spring, really, the new year. And it's a very colorful and sweet experience and celebration. And I was in Los Angeles, which of course is, they call it Tarangelis. It's where all the Persians are outside of Europe. And yeah, and I don't really engage that much with the community, especially in the US. But yeah, I felt like, why not experience it? Because I don't know if when you drive around Los Angeles, you see by late February on the streets all these little advertising and flags celebrating, but also advertising the Persian New Year upcoming celebrations, mainly at UCLA, the college there. And I thought it was kind of cool because you don't see that really anywhere else. I mean, just because there's such a big community here. So I thought, why not go and experience it after all these years finally? And it was lovely to see all fellow Persians all gathered, celebrating and performing and dancing. And it was great. And I learned a lot about myself and my DNA. There's a lot of things that's within me that I didn't know. I thought it was just me, but it's just part of my cultural heritage. And yeah, it was great. And discovered some great songs and beautiful performances and dances. And I'll play you some. What else did we experience in the past few weeks? Well, we had some fantastic guests on the show. I hope you listened to each and everyone, from the French DJ and producer and label owner, that's Pedro Winter, aka Busy P, to Grammy Award winning producer Teflon Zinc Fence from Jamaica. What else happened? Well, the Oscars happened. And yes, that moment. Obviously, violence is never the answer. And just like everybody else, I thought it was staged at first, but yeah, it was not. And it just shows you, when emotions take over, you kind of, I guess, go into tunnel vision and kind of blend out what's happening. But I do love that quote, or that moment, apparently, that Denzel Washington was telling Will, in your biggest moment, the devil comes out, and kind of be aware. And I love that. It's such a great, I think Denzel Washington is anyway, I think a very smart and interesting man. And hopefully eventually I'll get to meet, and hopefully maybe, who knows, I'll get him on the show as well. But I thought that was such a poignant and beautiful moment. Also, watch out, you know, you're speaking on behalf of a culture here. It's not just between these two, you know, it's bigger than the individual. And I thought that was kind of interesting to put out there. We all have our weak moments, that's for sure. So not here to judge at all. But yeah, anyway, it kind of also feels, if you put things into context, it feels so minuscule and so irrelevant. An award show, but also something like this happening in the end of the day, it's entertainment. Meanwhile, we have several wars going on, and one in Ukraine. And that is, there's really suffering in the world. And this is just kind of, in a way, you just have to shrug your shoulders and like, whatever. But also, our reality is commerce and the entertainment industry, so that's why it has some relevance to us. I guess for me, the bigger question arises about the relevance of something like this, like the in terms of like an award show and or entertainment, because this is obviously the numbers of award shows such as the Oscars, but I guess also Golden Globes and others. The numbers have been just declining over the past few years, and the question is why. I think the concept in itself is early 20th century. It was initially an industry day evening gathering, and it got built into something bigger, and got commercialized. And I think these formats are just not maybe as relevant to the 21st century. And I think that's why there was a steady decline. However, obviously they've been trying to re-change the format and what works and what doesn't, and bring a younger demographic and more broader. And we all, now it's super Latinx focused and black, and which is all great. And I think that's right. But everything just feels so, not organic. It just feels plastic. And is it entertaining to watch and do we talk about it? Yes. I mean, here we are, we're talking about it. But I think just like any US talk show, for instance, it just doesn't feel real. It's just business as usual, in my opinion, and less human. And I think that's why it became more irrelevant. I think that's why it's less engaging and interesting. It's literally just business as usual. And putting a tux on and a beautiful dress, I think it's like putting, I hate to use this term, but putting a lipstick on a pig. I think the mysteria is gone. I think the elegance, real glamour is gone. And obviously, I think technology and social media plays a big role in this, where everything is available and exposed anyway. So what's the point? I think that's the appeal kind of disappears. But that's just my opinion. But sometimes, less is more. Anyway, let's play some music. What did I discover recently that really caught my attention? Well, actually, there was one young artist called Ja Lil, part of Teflon's soundtrack, which I really enjoyed, and I've been checking him out. It's really interesting what's coming out of Jamaica.
No, break from my bond. It's like I won't get a break till my gone. Work, I'm awake on the farm. And my pace to the mouth from the palm. Just a row my boat in the storm. Why oppression feels like the norm? I'm a strong one, but I'm tired. I'm bitter off fire. Feel like modern day slavery. Modern day slavery. Feel like modern day slavery. Just another way to chain me. But me, I feel break free. I feel get out of no door. Gonna break free from modern day. Modern day slavery. Is this slavery? Working 9 to 5.
But also I had a wonderful lunch with a dear friend and also one of our guests of season one, the DJ and London man about town in London, Bradley Zero, who we had a lovely lunch and just recorded some of our chats, which you're going to hear now.
So welcome, Bradley. It's back to Are We On Air, I guess. This is, now we're in LA. Last month, in December, we were in Moscow for Prada, and we talked our episode a year and a half ago. Anyway, we were just talking about your US tour and how you challenge yourself, because you're playing back-to-back gigs right now.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's... I think when you're on the road doing consecutive gigs, the danger is that you can just end up playing the same thing again and again. And that's bad for two reasons. Well, I guess it's one main reason, which affects other things. As the DJ, if I'm not excited by what I'm playing, if I don't feel it's fresh, if I'm not like, seeing how these new songs, you know, fit into my set and the kind of reaction they cause on the dance floor just gets a bit boring, playing the same thing over and over again. But having like 5-6 gigs in a row, there's very little time to actually prep. So what I've been doing is, I guess, just creating obstacles, starting with
challenges,
you know, a track that is maybe quite difficult to mix into, or really fast or really slow, and basically giving myself, pushing myself out of my comfort zone and hopefully finding an interesting way to navigate that. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how I keep things fresh.
And what three tracks were like nice surprises over the past few gigs tour? Like, they're like, wow, people really dig those three tracks.
Oh, well, there's a song by Alex Cassian called, oh damn, what's it called? That's embarrassing. What's the song called? Oh, I can see the artwork in my head. Anyway, there's a song by Alex Cassian, who's based in Germany, and I played that in LA, and it's a very kind of euphoric, interlude-y kind of track. No kick drums, just a beautiful repeating melody. And it's on a label called Pinches and Friends. And it was the moment. It was the moment of the night. But what I didn't realise is that the guy who released it, he's my host. I'm staying at his house.
No way!
Yeah. A guy called Tom, who lives in Los Feliz. Is that where we are?
Yeah.
And he was showing me his label and playing a few bits. And I was like, oh, wow. And he pulled this Alex Cassian record out. And I was like, that's yours. So that was a beautiful coincidence.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, that's one that's been getting things going. What else? I've been playing a lot of kind of 90s house music.
Yeah.
Some Moose Tea.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
German, Turkish.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And a lot of kind of electro-y bassy stuff. There's a producer from London called Will Hofbauer.
Hofbauer?
Will Hofbauer. He runs a label called Third Place. And it sounds a bit like that early 80s electro, that moment where it kind of merged with hip-hop, like Afrika Mambaataa kind of vibes, but with super contemporary, very like low bottom end bass production. And that's been going off a treat, alongside another track by Nicky Nair, who is from Tennessee.
Nicky Nair,
check him out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually had this conversation with Perel the other day, and that's my general assumption what's going to happen over the next few months and years. I think there's a big electro clash kind of revival, that dirty low-end synthy sound.
These things, it's always circular,
yeah, of course,
isn't it?
Of course, we hear it, but I think there's a new, because, you know, the past few years you had this like hi-hat, piano kind of housey revival,
yeah,
right?
Proggy vibes.
Yeah. I have a feeling this
the sawtooth.
Yeah.
The sawtooth's coming back.
Yeah. Anyway.
I was getting into, when I first started buying records, Electro House was like the thing.
Yeah.
That's what everyone was playing.
Yeah.
It was all the hype.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I guess the sounds have got a lot smoother since then.
Yeah. I mean, technology changes things, so.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bradley.
My pleasure.
What else happened? Well, I got to see our dear friend, the lovely Dua Lipa, at her LA premiere, really. She was performing two nights in a row at the LA Forum, and she killed it. If you haven't listened to our episode, part of season two, please do so. Radical optimism here. And she killed it. That's all I can say to it. It was a very tight show. Incredible dancers. You can really feel they, it's a family on stage, and it was on point.
Have told me that I got you through the pandemic or whatever, but you guys really got me through everything, so I need to say thank you so much. We've been waiting 2 fucking years to put this show on, and it really, every night, it's like, this feels insane. So I want to say thank you, thank you. I feel like this is really, without sounding cliche or whatever, it really is a dream come true. I've never done a room like this before, so thank you so much. How many of you have heard my first album? Oh, thank you. Well then, I mean, I can hear you guys screaming, singing, shouting, so I'm hoping for this next song you guys will do just the same. If you know this song, please, please sing along. This is the one.
And then, lastly, why am I in New York? I am in New York because I'm working on this very interesting project right now, which even for me is a premiere and something new, and of course a whole different challenge and scale, is how to create an ambience in an arena. Yes, an arena. In this case, it's a UBS arena in New York, in Long Island, that recently opened and is home to the New York Islanders. We're talking about ice hockey, which I have no idea what it's like. I never watched hockey before, but it is very interesting because, you know, it's a venue. So you have games, but also concerts. And I got to experience the past few days an ice hockey game with the whole experience. And then the day after, a Mark Anthony concert. Yeah, it's quite interesting. How do you create an ambience that speaks to both demographics? As an example, obviously, games changed, audience changed, concerts changed, different draws a different audience. But I think the key to approach this is to create what the UBS Arena stands for, sonically speaking, but also visually, you know, a lot with lighting to do as well, and to create a certain experience that speaks to all kinds of demographics and people. And it just, in the end of the day, everybody wants to feel comfortable being in a retail, in a shop, or in a bar, in a restaurant, in a hotel, or in this case, an arena. The key is to make people feel comfortable and good. So that's a whole different scale. By the end of the day, it's the same application. So yeah, I'll definitely keep you in the loop on this project. Very exciting and interesting. And yeah, we get to hear something I recorded now. Well, that's it for this week, and I guess I'll speak to you soon. Before you go, if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram, please do so. Leave us a lovely review on Apple and Spotify podcasts. 5 stars are always welcomed. And yeah, what else? Oh, I guess that's it. And I'll speak to you soon. Much love.